Welcome to the WBHF question and answer session with candidates for Adairsville City Council. Six candidates are vying for the unexpired term of Buddy Bagley. He resigned from the post earlier this year. We were able to speak with all the candidates with the exception of Susan Satterfield. Work obligations prevented her from participating in this debate, conducted via Zoom audio. And we're going to begin by allowing each candidate to introduce themselves. And I'm going to just start with what I see on screen. And Ms. Nice, would you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Sonia Nice. It's spelled like nice, but pronounced Nice. I'll answer to either one, though. I am originally from Colorado, and my husband and family and I moved here about a year ago, and we are very, very happy and pleasantly settled in Adairsville, Georgia. We love the community and just getting involved and being an asset to the community.
Next, we have Mr. Taylor Forsyth. Will you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us. My name is Taylor Forsyth. Lifelong resident of Bartow County and grew up in Adairsville. Moved into the city limits about 7 years ago. I have a wife as a teacher at the middle school and two young boys. They're active in sports and playing any kind of game that they can find. I've spent the last 11 years working for fire and EMS here in Bartow County and serving in those roles as well as serving as a leader for Safe Kids Bartow and some other coalitions like that. So we appreciate you inviting us today and hosting this for us.
Thank you. Next, we have Ahmad Hall.
Yes, hey, everybody. I'm Ahmad Hall. I'm just so glad to be on the call. Thank you again, Ernestine, for allowing us to do this, bringing us together in this way. I'm a lifelong resident of Adairsville. I was not born in Adairsville because we don't have a hospital. I was born at Floyd Hospital in Rome. And then Mama brought me home to Adairsville. I've been in Adairsville for 34 years, and I love our city. I love our people. I love everybody on this call. Very, very proud and honored to be just named amongst all these people and looking forward to this conversation. And hopefully, if the citizens of Adairsville vote, I'll be a city councilman, and we'll do that.
Thank you. Next, Brandy Jenkins.
Okay. Hey, my name is Brandy Jenkins. Thanks for having us on today, Ernestine. I'm a Bartow County. I've lived in Adairsville for over 23 years. I've graduated from Adairsville High School. I've served on the Unified Zoning Board, Events Committee for the city. And I would just like everybody's vote. I go to all the council meetings and work city sessions that they have. And I just feel like I'm the next for the future, for the next council person. Thank y'all.
Thank you. And Dr. Harper.
Ernestine, thank you for this opportunity for us to talk to the citizens of Adairsville. My wife and I and two boys have lived in Adairsville for about 15 years. Well, not necessarily so for my two boys. My wife and I have an empty nest, and that's been an adjustment for both of us. But I previously served as superintendent of Bartow County Schools for over 10 years and really love Adairsville, and we maintained our citizenship and residence in Adairsville. And just looking forward to possibly having the opportunity to serve on the city council. I think the city's very lucky to have six people stepping forward wanting to serve it. And I know at least two of the candidates very well, and they're fine young men. And hopefully the citizens will make the right vote for the city council. And I offered myself up just for service for the city council. Thank you, Ernestine.
Thank you. And Susan Satterfield is also a candidate running for this office. She was unable to be with us today. I hope to be able to speak with her to include her in this conversation. But for now, we'll continue with the group that we have. And I'm going to start by asking what differentiates you guys. There are six candidates on the ballot, five of you here. And from what I can tell, you all like each other. But as candidates consider who to vote for, I'm going to start with you, Mr. Forsyth. How are you different from your opponents?
Well, I think maybe we'll learn a little bit today about how we may be different in our ideas. The biggest thing I could say is that, you know, I understand that Adairsville was a growing place. Growing up here, it was always a small town, and I love the small town feel. But that's not always going to be possible for us to keep it as being small and not having growth. So I think that for me, the biggest thing that we have to do is we have to make sure that we have proper plans in place for how the city grows, whether that be from infrastructure or what kind of things we're bringing in, to industries or commercial, residential, that sort of thing. So I think that that's where I've hit on the most and talked to most folks about is having that plan in place so that we're not caught off guard and we don't just allow anything to happen to our city. We kind of have a plan and we move forward with that plan as to how we want it to look in 5 or 10 years down the road.
Thank you. Next, Ahmad Hall.
I think the thing that differentiates me from the other candidates is I've been working with the city for about 6 years on the, not the city council, but the Downtown Development Authority. And for two of those years, I was chairperson for that, and we've made some great strides through R360, and they have done a lot of compiling of our data as far as everything that goes on in the Adairs and surrounding areas as to who may be a proper candidate for a business in Adairsville. A lot of the businesses that are coming in now are a result of the work we did with the Downtown Development Authority, and also Events Planning Committee. I've been on that, and I think that my work with the city so far is the thing that really is different from everyone else. And I really appreciate the city allowing me to be a part of this, even this youth leadership. Bartow represented the city of Adairsville, and I appreciate that, and it's an honor to do so as well. So that's my take on it.
Ms. Jenkins.
Like everybody else, I've served on the Unit 5 Zoning Board Events Committee for the city of Adairsville, and I regularly attend the city council meetings and the work sessions every month. I just think I'm involved in the knowing of the needs of what the people want of Adairsville for the city. I just want to, like Taylor said, it is growing, and I just want to be a part of that and work with all the other council people that are already on the board and the mayor to strive to go to the future.
Thank you. John Harper.
Yes, Ernestine. I had a lot of close relationship with the city as superintendent in building both the middle school and the elementary school here. I've managed large budgets and small budgets. Our Bartow County school budget was $125 million. We had 2,000 employees, so I have experience in supervising employees. I've worked hard to establish long and short-term goals for the school system, which I think that experience will help the city and me working with the mayor and Pam Madison and developing what the future looks like for Adairsville. In my role as a county superintendent, I got to know the county officials very well and work closely with them, and I think that connection will help with my service on city council. And my wife and I just love the city and like to share our expertise and experience with the city. She works for the, serves on the CVB board and attends the meetings for the city council, and we're just both very devoted, and whatever I can do to help support the city of Adairsville, I'm prepared to do.
Thank you. And Ms. Neese.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a newcomer. I'm a newcomer and a northerner at that. Oh, my goodness. I probably lost all my votes right there. However, I am a northerner who has come to love the South. And I believe that coming to Adairsville as someone who doesn't know all the cultural ways and things like that, I think those things should be highlighted, especially the very good things, so that as Adairsville is growing, we're going to get people from everywhere. We're going to get people from all over, east, west, north, south. And I think to highlight the city's good things would be quite the welcome for everyone, and to get people on board to be part of things that they want to be involved in, because it's been exposed to them. They've been exposed to the good things. One of the things that we did when we came down here was we went to the locomotive festival, and what a time. I thought I had a great time, and it was very, very good. Met a whole lot of different people. So things like that, things that bring people together, that's what makes me different, because I come from somewhere else, and maybe I see see things a little bit differently in the gathering of people together to become a strong community.
Our next question, we begin with you, Mr. Hall. A number of companies have decided to locate in Adairsville recently, and I know everyone is grateful for the additional jobs. As a council member, would you also work to maintain the small town feel and character of Adairsville?
As Taylor Forsythe said earlier, you know, growth is inevitable. It's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about it. The crazy thing is, if growth and change had not happened, we would not be sitting on this Zoom call having this conversation. We would not be in rooms with electricity. We'd be sitting here with candlelight. So change is inevitable. Growth is going to happen. And so what we have to do is, I believe we have to educate our people about civics and working with our city and being more of a part of what's going on in the city, so they'll know every step of the way and keeping them informed and not just posting stuff, but actually getting out there and talking to those citizens so they'll know what's going on around and in their city. So my idea on that is, once we teach those people about how city government works, how municipalities work, we then can allow them to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, as the Bible says, and they can think different and see different. Because a lot of times people are afraid and they fear things that they don't know about. But the more that we educate them about what's going on around them, they'll be able to understand the significance of it. And at the same time, we want those things to grow in certain areas, but we want to keep that small town feel in the right area. So that makes any sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Jenkins, that same question for you.
I still want Adairsville to be that small town feeling. After going door to door on my campaign, talking to so many citizens and residents, they are the main priority. I know talking to them, I have, you know, several complaints that they have, things they want to come in, and I know growth is still coming, but a lot of people, they're really wanting like a grocery stores, some more eating places. A lot of them said they're tired of industry coming in. But I just think we need to, like Ahmad said, work with the people, educate them, and just go forward to the future. And I know Daresville will grow. It's close to 75, the corridor, and just keep it growing. But grow it not at a fast pace, but at a reasonable pace, and just go towards the future.
Thank you. Mr. Harper?
Yes, Ms. Jones. I think two of the other candidates have expressed that we all know that growth is going to come to Adairsville once the Cass White exit gets built out with industry and warehouse space. The next exit is Adairsville, and Atlanta's going to come this way. It's my understanding we've got an Amazon warehouse coming soon, and Vista Metals is an example of growth in Adairsville. They're an outstanding company, and they've been great partners with the city of Adairsville. So I think our industry will continue to arrive and be good partners for the city. I think we'll continue that hometown feel that we have, where we know our neighbors and we all have fun chatting with each other. I don't think it's going to be difficult to maintain the small town feel with supporting the industry that's going to come to town. It's going to help us be able to provide and help with the infrastructure to help Adairsville manage and work with the community to support our livelihood here.
Thank you. Ms. Neese.
Could you repeat the question?
Sure. A number of companies have decided to locate in Adairsville, and I know everyone is grateful for the job opportunities. However, as a council member, will you also work to maintain the small town feel and character of Adairsville?
Yes. I think everyone has said a number of things that each council candidate would hit on very well. One of the things I think I would like to see is just perhaps that when industry comes in, that Adairsville isn't treated as a place to put a big building, that people would come in and would have a sense of still regard the place, the town, still with high regard for Adairsville, not treating it like it's just a place for, you know, you can get a reasonably priced land or something like that. So not to say not to use it like a donkey or a mule or something, but to regard what Adairsville is, what the people have built here, and become an asset and better it. You know, make Adairsville better because they're here, not just a place to put someplace. And then, you know, you have trucks and you have all these things kind of going, all this traffic and noise and all these things moving around, and there's no regard for the atmosphere or the environment that Adairsville is striving to keep. So I think if businesses come in and they have that kind of a mindset, yes, we want to be here, but we don't want to impose ourselves in a bad way on the town. We want to add to the town, not take away from it. So I would love to think that business owners and industry would come in with a very respectful idealism, as well as with jobs and with things like that, but also just to keep in mind that the people of Adairsville love to, I believe, you know, we'd love to have the industry, the jobs, the things come in, but no one wants to see the scenery, the vista change drastically to where you don't recognize where you live.
Thank you. And Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, so something that I've talked about this entire campaign is keeping industry in industrial places. That's one of the big sayings that we've had. And I think that's something that's very important for Adairsville. So we do have industry coming in, and I understand that we need jobs here, but it's got to be about balance. We can't overflow Adairsville with industries. So we've got to keep it in industrial places. And what I mean by that is keeping those industries in the industrial park. For instance, there's open places still in the industrial park that we can have them in. I don't think we need to fill up our 140 and 41 corridors with industrial plants. Those are good commercial properties where we can see growth in the commercial areas with restaurants and shops and things like that, instead of putting factories or warehouses there. And I think the way that we keep the local feel is as we grow the commercial side rather than the industrial side, we try to create an environment for locally owned and operated. That's the very best way to keep a hometown feel, is when you know the owner of the restaurant and his family, or if you know the owner of the retail store and their family. So if we create an environment in Adairsville that's good for locally owned and operated businesses to be here, that's our best way to keep it. And Dr. Harper touched on something, and I'm going to touch on a couple of things that they said. And he talked about the Cass White exit, and there's a lot of jobs down there. So I would think that we could really make Adairsville a place where we say, hey, there, you can get a good job right down here at Cass White, but then you can travel 10 minutes north on the interstate and be in a good residential place where the traffic isn't quite as bad, and you can have a place to go hang out with your family in the evening at one of our nice parks. That's something that I think we should do is advertise that. And on this topic as well, Ahmad talked a little bit about earlier about trying to inform them about what government does. I think sometimes people think that when you make city council that, you know, I think any of us, if we could have promised an Olive Garden from the get-go, we'd have won this thing. So it's not the fact that the city council gets to determine who comes here and who doesn't, but it's up to us to set the things in place that might create an environment for people to want to be here.
Thank you. Ms. Jenkins, I have the next question for you. Currently, Adairsville police do not wear body cameras. Do you feel body cameras are important for law enforcement and the community that they police?
Yes, I am for a body camera. I think it gets the whole aspect of what is going on from the stopping to the getting out to the pulling over. I work down in Atlanta every day. I stop at Quick Trip usually every morning. The other morning they had a guy pulled over. There was three cars there. They were going through the car. I mean, you can rely on cameras at local businesses to help, but I just feel that the body camera is the best way to go, because you get all the aspect of what is going on and you have all these different views.
Thank you. Mr. Harper.
Yes, Ms. Jones. Adairsville has just been recently named one of the safest cities in Georgia. And I'm real pleased with that. I want to give a big shout out to Mike Jones and his staff for helping that body cams. I took a similar stance in the school system to make sure our buses and our schools were well equipped with video surveillance or cameras. And what I found with those cameras is they helped us certainly far more than they hurt us. And I think, I hope that it's not a budget issue for the police department, but I think body cams would certainly be effective for our officers to help protect them and give close and upfront correct information about what's happening in that video in those particular incidences. So I know they're not very expensive. And again, cameras always help to support us in the school system. And I think it'll do the same for Mike and his department.
Thank you. Ms. Neese.
Oh, yes, I'm a big advocate of police body cams. I worked with the El Paso County Sheriff's Department in Colorado. So I know that they are an asset and a help to the police officer as well as the person being interviewed or detained.
Mr. Forsyth just disappeared. I don't know if that means he's no longer with us, but we're going to move to you, Mr. Hall, in hopes that Mr. Forsyth comes back.
Yes, I would definitely say I am all for body cams, not only for the protection of our citizens, but for the protection of our officers as well. I love Chief Jones, what he's doing in the city of Adairsville. As I think Dr. Harper stated, Adairsville has been said to be one of the most safe cities, and I think that has a lot to do with how well our officers are doing their job, and so we commend them for what they're doing. And my wife has worked in the correctional system for many, many years. She actually just came out. Now she's working for the state of Georgia Pardon and Paroles. And so I look to her and a lot of her colleagues who have been out there working, and Mr. Rick Jacobs, who was over Pardon and Paroles for the whole state, he's one of our good friends, and we have discussions about this. And those body cams would ensure safety, again, not only for our citizens, but for our officers as well. So I don't know what the budget is looking like for the city of Adairsville, if we don't have them, or if we're in the act or works to get them. But if I was on the city council, I would make sure that we'd up that budget just a little bit to get some body cameras. I think that all of our citizens would not mind us using some money to ensure their safety and also our officers.
Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. I think everybody's answer is pretty much the same, but I definitely would support them. I worked alongside law enforcement for the last 11 years. Know a lot of the guys here in the Adairsville very well. I think they all really would like to have them as well. So, yeah, I would definitely support that, along with as long as we're talking about police. I think that and budget stuff, that's something that we have to look at with the growth of Adairsville, is to make sure that we're able to keep up with the times, keep up with the staff, and keep up with the needs of the police department as more people move into Adairsville, and that we don't leave them short-staffed or short-handed as the population grows here.
My next question, we began with John Harper. If the city received $1 million grant to use any way that you wanted, what would you do and why?
I think my role as a city council member is to work with the mayor, Kenneth Carson and Pam Madison, to develop a plan that would best support the community and the citizens in Adairsville. I've not sat on the council. I don't know specifically what goes on behind the scenes there. I know my wife works in some of those meetings, and she can't tell me sometimes what goes on there because she's sworn to not share that information. But I know the city and Mr. Carson has a plan. And I think they'd be able to use that grant money that would help support Adairsville and continue its little hometown feel, and help support the citizens and the kinds of things they would like to see in Adairsville. I don't really have anything specific, Ms. Jones, because I think that decision really needs to come from the mayor and the city manager and us as a council to support that.
Thank you. Ms. Neese.
Yes. Well, you know, you think $1 million was a lot of money. Before you know it, it'd be less and less, of course, as you spend it. But one of the things that one of the platforms that I've wanted to stand on here in town is because we have an older community, things that would get people out and moving. I tried to ride my bike down 41, and it was an experiment in terror. So one of the things I would like to try to do is put more exercise trails. Georgia is a beautiful, beautiful state, my goodness, with all the greenery and trees and things. So I think if I could just do whatever I wanted to. I agree with Mr. Harper that, you know, you get with the mayor and of course you find out what the greatest need is. But you ask if whatever I wanted to do, I would put more exercise trails and walking trails and places where families could get out, walk their dogs, but they're outside. They're not confined to a park. So even something that went from Adairsville to Calhoun, I'm a walker. I'm a hiker. I like all that stuff. And I would love to ride my bike to Calhoun. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'd love to try to do it safely. So $1 million could possibly start that.
Thank you, Mr. Forsythe.
Yeah, so I would use it in three different ways, I think. One would be I would use that money to also pass along as a grant for businesses that wanted to open up in the downtown area. I know that there's some issues down there as far as restaurants having to conform to some code to put in the kitchen areas and things like that. So have that available for them to be able to access that, to help drive some more businesses to be able to go to the downtown area. And then secondly, I love the new park that we have here in Adairsville, and I want to see us put some more money towards that in the future. Parks and Rec is one thing I talked about, and I'll plug it right now. If you go to my Facebook page, I've got a couple of videos out there that talks about that more in depth. And then also, I think we can spend just a little bit of money where we have industry already on 140, put up some new trees and some things that look nice. It'll just change the atmosphere as you get off the interstate and head towards 41 there. I think that would be a good use of the money.
Thank you. Mr. Hall.
Yes. Anybody who knows me knows that I love history. I deem myself a history buff, and my family's been a part of the Adairsville community since the 1870s. So we've been here a long time. So I guess somebody loved the city as much as I love the city in my ancestry. And so with that being said, number one, I would take some of that money and help to preserve the history of Adairsville. And here's the reason why. I believe it's the heart of Adairsville. It's the reason why we're here. Adairsville is a railroad city, railroad town. That's why it was formed. It's really, really amazing to see how we were able to keep the integrity of our downtown area. A lot of cities don't have that. So number one, keeping that history to help preserve the heart of Adairsville. Number two, I would make sure that we took some of that money and did something for our youth. There's not a lot of things that are, we have some things that are going on and coming in the works, but even more so focusing on our youth. And I have a lot of ideas concerning our youth that were kind of fashioned and formed out of conversations I've had with citizens of Adairsville. And I agree with Mr. Forsythe about the new parks and all that type of thing. Everybody is loving it. When I go to the, whether I'm at Many Meal, because I'm trying to walk a little bit and lose some of this fat. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So when I go to Many Meal or go to the Veterans Memorial Park, I see so many families and people out and how much they enjoy that. So that says, hey, Adairsville, you did something right. So we need some more spending in that direction. I also agree with Dr. Harper being fiscal, and we have to understand the way city government works, as we were talking about earlier, and make sure that it aligns with what our mayor and our city council, other members are saying and what they want for the city of Adairsville as pertains to what the citizens are saying to us.
Thank you. Ms. Jenkins.
From going door to door and talking to so many citizens here in Adairsville, a lot of complaints is they want sidewalks, curbs, streets. I went down to Main Mill, and they would like to have sidewalks from all the subdivisions down there all the way to the park. Downtown here off of Poplar, they have that nice. Talked to a resident the other day, and they would like to have more sidewalks and streets and curbs. So if I had $1 million, I would do the whole town with sidewalks and streets, repave the streets, sidewalks, curbs, where everybody can get out and exercise. I've met people in wheelchairs, and they love the sidewalks on Poplar because they can just wheel down and don't have to worry about all the speeding and the traffic down through that through downtown, all over the city limits, and just get out and enjoy.
Thank you. My next question, we begin with Ms. Neese. Has the city taken any precautions to prevent the spread of COVID-19? Do you feel more action could or should be taken to preserve the citizens' health? And I know some cities, such as Atlanta and Savannah, they had mask mandates. That was one of the options that they took. But can you give me your take on it?
I think Daresville did a very adequate job of protecting themselves, us as citizens, and protecting the buildings, the public buildings that we all go to, like City Hall. One, they were closed for a time. And then two, when things kind of started to settle down and the mask mandate came into play, we were still able to go into the different public buildings and still access the services that were there. I believe that Daresville worked in conjunction with Bartow County, with other cities to get information out and to also adhere to the information. So, you know, you see people walking and people have masks. Again, we have an older population, at least, you know, the community I live in, it's a lot of older people. So I believe the older people and their families were informed very well to know how to keep themselves protected, how to keep their families protected. I think the educational system did a great job. As I read through some of the websites for Daresville, I think everybody really played a great part in helping each other to be safer, to do the right things, to listen to the experts who are giving us the mandates that are coming down, and to do what is asked of us. So I would continue that because I think that works. I think it's word of mouth. You know, you have the education board talking to the children talk to the parents are listening to our city government. So I think we're a well working wheel right now.
Thank you, Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, I think the city done a good job with COVID-19. They made a very unpopular decision to not host the festival, and I'm sure they did that on some good information that they had as to why they wouldn't do it. I know a lot of people up here were upset, but sometimes when you're on the city council and part of that, you have to make decisions that people don't like. But I think they have safety in mind through all of that. They've done a good job. I've seen several posts that they've put out encouraging folks to wear masks, including, like said before, you know, they closed down City Hall. If you go to City Hall now, their signs up encouraging you to. And I like the stance that they take. They're encouraging you to wear your mask, but they're not forcing you to, so that you don't run into issues where folks that may have other issues from wearing the mask feel uncomfortable or whatever. So they're encouraging it, and I think that's the stance that we need to take, is encouraging people to be safe, encourage them to do things that are best for their health. But not absolutely forcing it on them.
Thank you. Mr. Hall.
Yes, I think the city did a tremendous job. I was in talks with them continually through that process. And what I really loved about it is, as Ms. Neese highlighted, they considered the fact that they were not just to Daresville, but they were Bartow County, and they listened to what was going on around them, making sure that a lot of our citizens who travel within Bartow County in the area, a lot of them never leave the county, they travel within this area. So they were following guidelines, looking at Bartow County as a whole and other cities in Bartow County to see what they should do. And I think they did a tremendous job with that. And I'm glad that they kind of pushed the envelope a little bit. I know a lot of the COVID-19 thing has been politicized, and I think they took a great stance and how they handled that situation. And I was actually in the Dollar General, which we call it the Daresville Mall. That's what we call it in our family. Just a couple of months ago, and there was a young lady who in front of me, and they had the sign about 6 feet you know, standing 6 feet away and all this type of thing. She said, you know, I'll be glad when all this is over. And I said, I will too. I'm tired of losing friends and family to it. And she said, what? You know somebody who's died from COVID? And I was like, I told her, I said, I know more people than I have hands and feet to count from all over the country, people that I've known who died from COVID-19. Actually, this past week, we just lost two of our church members from COVID over at North Rome Church of God, where I serve as worship pastor. And so at that moment, I realized it became real to her. So it's one of those things where you have to experience it to really understand this totality for the most part, some people. And wearing masks and the mandates that are put in place by the city, I thought were right on top of everything. They were perfect for our situation, our city, our citizens, and everybody has complied very well. And I'm appreciative of what the city of Adairsville did concerning COVID-19.
Thank you. Ms. Jenkins.
Yes, I think the city done an excellent job with the mayor, council members already, and getting with Pam Madison. I know that a lot of people were upset that all the rest of the year events were canceled due to it, but Ms. Pam got with the CDC, the health department. They watched some videos of the festival, and they said, no, that could not go on because there's just no way to control the crowd and all the entrances. I think the city has done an excellent job with getting out the information around town. I know at the council meeting Thursday night, Ms. Pam said that no employee with the city has had any COVID issues. So I think that's great that they're taking precautions. I know they have done an excellent job of getting all the information out to the citizens.
Thank you. And Mr. Harper.
Ma'am, thank you. I think Mayor Carson and the council have made some very difficult decisions regarding events inside the city. The fireworks were canceled. The festival was canceled. And those are pretty big events for us in Adairsville. But, you know, when you're in those leadership positions, you can't tell people yes all the time. And I think they really considered the community with regard to canceling those and making sure that everybody was safe. You know, you see them social distance in the office buildings. The website's got a lot of information about what we need to do as citizens. I was glad to see them not mandate those things for us, but as we enter our grocery stores and Dollar General, Food Lion, and those things, you know, we should mask up, protect ourselves, and protect our other community. But I think the city did a lot of good things to help us as citizens, to keep us safe, and did a good job.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Forsyth, do you know if the city has a social media policy for employees? Are employees allowed to share their political ideas on their personal social media pages? And should they be allowed to?
So I'm not 100% positive exactly what the social media policy is. I'm sure they do have it. I think that, I've worked for the county government for a long time. And coming from that stance, you have to be very careful when you do work for the county government or city government and what you put out there and your stances. We all have a freedom of speech in this country to be able to share that. So I think that we have to allow them to be able to share it, but I also think that if it's going to be their personal page, it needs to be their personal page. We need to leave city business off of it. And if it's a page where they do city business on or anything like that, then it needs to stay dedicated to that. So I think that there needs to be a separation there, and that we don't blur those lines between the two.
So if it's their personal page, they can share their political ideas on their personal page?
If it's on their personal page. But with that being said, I think that they need to make sure that it's known that that's their personal page, it's their personal opinion, not the opinion of the city, and that we're not blurring those lines. They're not conducting city business through their personal page or anything such as that.
Mr. Hall.
To that question, I just think about the fact that I've been in ministry for half my life. And there's certain things that in ministry you don't talk about, you don't touch on. And I'm very, very careful about what I say, how I say it, how I post it, because the thing about it is I'm a very diverse person. I believe in diversity. That's one of my greatest passions. I love how God made us all different. And at the same time, we have so many things in common. There's a poem by Maya Angelou that has a line in it that I love so much. It says, "We are more alike than we are unalike." And I say that to say, you know, everybody has their thought process, how they believe, how they understand, how they comprehend. But my mom always taught me that it's better to understand than to be understood. So I try to live by that. I try to make sure I understand everyone. I love history. And one thing I love about history is human behavior. And so we find ourselves in a certain place right now in the world, in America, politically, all that type thing. And if we go back, we can understand why we are here and why people think the way they think. And the policy with the city, I'm not sure that we do have one. I have not heard of any posts that were very negative or out of the way. And I think that has to do with and speaks to the type of people that we have in the city of Adairsville and our hiring process as well. And they keep the heart of Adairsville. So when it comes to that, I think that we should all be sure that we take time and take the effort to think things through before we post them. How am I saying this? How will this come across? Because even on certain stances that we feel, especially religiously, like there's a lot of things that I hold dear religiously, I make sure that when I do take a stance, I am not being demeaning or negative to anybody else who may not believe or think that way.
So employees should be able to post their personal opinions on their personal page about politics then?
I would say yes. But I would say do it in a way to where it's not demeaning or negative to other people, because to me, that almost kind of takes away from our First Amendment. We have the right to say and feel how we would like to. But as American citizens, we have to understand that we should be able to relay those things and express those in a way that does not slant or negatively angle at someone who is our fellow American.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Jenkins.
I'm not real sure the social media policy that the city has, but like Taylor said, I mean, it's your personal page and you should be allowed to put whatever you want. But like with Ahmaud, you know, you should think about what you're putting out there for the world to see before you do it. And you don't want to hurt anybody or you know, be mean in today's society.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Harper.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not familiar with whatever social media policy the city may have. Certainly, we have First Amendment rights, but we certainly can't shout fire in a theater whenever we can get back to those. And I think as an employee of the city, we just need to be mindful of what we say and how we say it and where we say it, that because we are a member of the city and employed by the city, so even though we can say things on our own personal website or personal web page, we need to be very careful about what we say, that we do represent the city, even though it's our own personal account.
So you feel that they should be able to post on their own personal page their personal political opinions?
I don't have an issue with somebody saying who they're going to vote for, or how they're going to vote, their personal opinions. But when they bring their fellow employees under attack on their website, I think that's probably inappropriate for them to do so.
Thank you. Ms. Neese.
Yes, ma'am. I like everyone else, I'm not sure where the city stands on employees having or being able to express themselves in any manner on their personal page. Personally, I guess I would say that most of the political posts and things like that I see are very divisive, and that can't stand. And I believe as a representative, even in your off time, as a city employee or a state employee, federal employee, that should be muted. That should be muted. And there should be a very neutral stance. I am reminded of a movie I saw. It was called Amazing Grace. And very quickly, it was the story of Wilberforce. And this is England. He was a member of parliament. However, he took a stand against slavery in England. And his members of parliament did not, you know, everybody was for it. He was about the only voice against it. It took him 30 years, but he beat down the issue until they all voted to abolish it in England. So my point is, it can be a wonderful tool to personally express yourself, even in a political way that goes against or is very contrary to what the majority thinks. But I think because of what we see today in social media, it's too easy to for that thing to turn ugly or to turn divisive, or as some of the others said, you begin to look like you represent the entity in which you work for, whether it's the city, the state, or the government. And we're not that voice in our personal time, but so we should be mindful to just mute it and not talk about those things. That's my opinion.
Thank you. My next question, I begin with you, Mr. Hall. One of you will fill the unexpired term of Buddy Bagley. Have you spoken with him about the office, and will you work to continue with some of his goals if you're elected?
Yes, currently I have not spoken to him concerning that. We actually both are members of the Lions Club, so I see him when I go to Lions Club meetings once a month with the city of Adairsville and those who live in the city of Adairsville. I've known Buddy for a long time. My family has known him. They love him. And if elected, I would definitely like to talk to him about his ideas as far as what he's done and where he's looking to go. I know Brandy has had a lot of opportunity to talk with him, sit with him. They're very, very close. And I think she has a better idea about what his ideas were. But I will say that I think that, again, I said earlier, I'm big on diversity. And I would love to see a lady sitting in that seat if it's not me. And I think that helped diversify thought. I was just thinking about how it's been like a trend that a lot of the councilmen and mayors have been family. There's more than one family or two or three families in Adairsville. I'd like to see another family to be a part of that city council to help diversify thought, you know, that type thing. So, yeah, I'd like to speak to him if I got into that position and see what his mind was, what his thoughts were about the future of the city.
Thank you. Ms. Jenkins.
Yes, Buddy has known me since I was a child. Him and my dad has worked together for many years. Buddy Bagley has endorsed me for the open council position to take his place after his resigning. He feels, by talking to him and him talking to other residents, he feels I can step right in and go right on with the program. I do have a good relationship with the other council members and the mayor and Chief Jones and Pam Madison, Miss Donaldson. Buddy is a great guy, and he has served the city well. And I look up to Buddy. If you have any problems like mine, I have an open door policy. You can call me, text me, come by my house for any reasons. I want to just serve for the citizens. And he has the same policies. He's there to do right for the citizens. But he has endorsed me, and that is on my Facebook page. And our video will be coming out next week, either Monday or Tuesday.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Were you finished?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Harper.
Yes, ma'am. Buddy's such a delightful man. The city's going to miss him, even though he's still going to be around. I get to see Buddy from time to time and admire him and respect him greatly. I certainly don't agree with Ahmad that if he's not elected, a lady should be in the position, because that eliminates me. I think the person that gets selected by the community needs to be the most experienced, going to serve the citizens well. Buddy has been a strong advocate for the community and for the citizens in the community. And I think that next person needs to serve in that same role and to follow in his footsteps.
Thank you. Ms. Neese.
I do not know Mr. Bagley. However, I'm very open to having coffee and sitting down and gleaning and picking his mind for any words of wisdom that he has, as well as any of the other councilmen. I do know the other two just from going to council meetings. However, I don't have relationship with any of them outside of just sitting in meetings and listening to them. So if Mr. Bagley was open to sit and have a chat, I'd invite it.
Thank you, Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, I actually got a chance to sit down with Buddy a good bit, eating breakfast at the diner here in town several times a week with him over the last few weeks. And we got to give him a pretty good hard time this last week when Brandy put her post out that he was in a video for, so I call him a movie star now. But the thing about Buddy Bagley is he was the people's person. That's what he was. People knew that they could go to Buddy if they had an issue, and he would try to take care of it. And I think that was the biggest thing that he brought to the city, was he was just very personable with everybody and would take time with them. So, yeah, I think it's important that we keep that. As being a small town, you can't just get elected to this seat and then kind of disappear and just show up at council meetings. As long as you're active in the community, people are going to see you, and we have to take care of our fellow residents. I mean, when you talk about it, and yeah, I guess Ahmad's chucking me and Dr. Harper out. That's all right. but at the end of the day, there's six people in this race. And one thing that I can say is that I've been glad that this has been a clean race and we haven't had a bunch of mudslinging, because this is a small town. We're still going to be neighbors. And my hope is whoever gets the seat, the other five folks are going to stay involved with the city in one way or another. And we just make this a better town altogether.
Thank you. This is my final question, and then we'll go to closing statements. And I'm going to begin my final question with you, Ms. Jenkins. It is vitally important to one segment of the city's population, but they can't yet vote. Is it the role of the city to offer guidelines for trick-or-treating in the midst of this pandemic? And what would be your suggestion regarding this topic?
I guess since they canceled the downtown Halloween, because that was such a big event, I know right up from me, the Daresville Baptist Church, they're doing a trunk-or-treat. I am going to set up here at my house and do a drive-by trick-or-treater for those kids that want to get out and trick-or-treat. On my campaign, I've worn my mask the whole time I've went and visited door-to-door. I just feel that just people has to be careful, maintain your distance and wear your mask, and just take precautions when you're all out.
Thank you. Mr. Harper.
Yes, ma'am. This was another one of those tough decisions that leaders have to make, and they made it. And I think our faith-based communities need to kind of step up and support our children. We knew what it was like when we were young to have that trick-or-treat, and we're going to have candy at my door, and if kids want to come by there. But again, I think we can do the trunk-or-treat well and keep kids and families safe. But, they've made a good call.
Thank you. Ms. Neese.
I think this city should have some say-so in how the kids trick-or-treat, and that's for safety. I know it would take a lot of organizing, say, to because every neighborhood probably wants to do it, but even informationally, the city could give parents, just some guidelines on streets and how to cross the streets and not walking, where there's the cars may not see you, especially little people. So yes, I think the city does have a part in that, in giving safety guidelines to keep the kids having fun. As far as COVID-19, I believe with masks and gloves, I don't know why kids wouldn't be able to go ring doorbells. If we were all to just have gloves on as we, give the candy out or something like that, and there's no contact in that, I think we could still do it safely and traditionally, say. But I also love the idea of the trunk or treat. That's a bunch of fun too, as far as with the churches and the different youth organizations that, and the people who are involved who would do that kind of things. So there's plenty of options. I believe that we could do it traditionally and safely with some preparation. And also the city does have an obligation to the citizens to give safety guidelines as well.
Thank you, Mr. Forsythe.
Yeah, so I think that when we talk about trick-or-treat, we have to look at a few things. First of all, it's always good to have safety messaging out there. I know that when I was running Safe Kids Bartow County, we Halloween was a big day for us. We would try to set up at the bigger events and give out glow sticks earlier in the day and different things to help the kids be illuminated at night, and to talk with them and their parents about some safety issues that going on and how they could avoid some bad situations. But you know, each parent, it's going to be up to the parents on how they do it with the kids. I think that we've got to let our kids go out and have some fun. They've had a lot of time at home, including my two. So, you know, I think it's going to be good that they have some time out enjoying, even though we'll be there with them, being enjoyed. And, you know, we have to think too, these kids have been in school together now for several months. Thankfully, we haven't had a lot of big issues off of that. And I think that's great. They're back in their environment and learning where they need to be. So I think as far as trick or treat, I think we got the safety messaging is great. We put it out there, maybe even push a little stronger for maybe some of our elderly folks that want to give out candy, some things that they may need to do to keep themselves safe with so many people coming by. But we got to let the kids get back to being kids at some point. So I think we can get some safety messaging out there, but beyond that, I think that we need to let it happen.
Thank you. And Mr. Hall.
And I have 2 minutes to answer this, right? 2 minutes?
You do.
Right? Okay, real quick, first of all, I want to say, Taylor Forsythe and Dr. Harper, I am not slighting you. Number one, Taylor, I just saw your mom the other day. I dropped off CJ left his gym clothes at home, so I had to go to high school, and I saw your mama. She's a nice lady. And Mr. Harper, I'm not slighting you. Adina bakes me chocolate chip pound cakes that are really, really good. So I got to keep those pound cakes coming.
Me too, Ahmad. Me too.
Right. but secondly, I think the city took a great stance when it came to that. And then they again, helping our citizens understand how things work when it comes to city government, the city actually saved themselves and protected themselves as an entity when it came to that decision, allowing the families to make a decision themselves. And also, it's almost like when the whole COVID situation, when President Trump, you know, he said, hey, look, let these governors in these states make these decisions. And so that kind of saved the federal government from a lot of different things and kind of put that weight on the state. So I can't look at a family who has not been affected gravely by COVID and tell them, no, you can't go out without masks, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then I also cannot look at a family who's lost loved ones and say, you cannot wear masks and you cannot wear gloves. So we have to look at both those things. We're a diverse community, we're a diverse nation, diverse world, and we have to look at all those factors when we make decisions like that.
We're going to start our closing comments right now, and we begin with Mr. Harper. And if you will, you guys, as you wrap up, if you'll let people know why they should be casting their ballots for you.
Ernestine, thank you. You promised us 5 questions and you gave us 7, but that's okay. And I'm going to talk quickly because I'm on low power on my battery. But, you know, I think our city and community has served us well. We've got great water. We've got natural gas. We've got housing that's increasing. We've got international industry. And the business community continues to grow here. And we have a wonderful faith-based community. We are a growing community, and that's going to be an issue that we're going to have to face in city council. And as I said earlier, I've entered the race to provide service, to help shape a clear vision and direction for our community. I've done that for many, many years in my career as an educator. I'll continue to do that, and my goal is to serve the citizens and the community well. Thank you, Ernestine, for this opportunity.
Thank you. Ms. Neese.
Yes, ma'am. First, thank you for inviting me to this forum, and thank you, WBHF. Thank you for airing this whenever it's going to air. I am very, very happy to be part of the Adairsville community, and I have just learned so much, and I am continually learning about Adairsville, its history. Ahmad has put up some things, and I've learned some things about, you know, business owners from way back when. Things like that. So I think it's a cute and quaint place. I think that the things that happen to this place should not totally change it, but enhance it. So if elected to the city council, I will definitely be a proponent for that kind of a movement. But if not, my prayer is that God choose the king or queen to sit in that seat, in the sense of whoever he wants, because then it's the perfect person. So good luck, everybody. God bless your campaigns.
Thank you, Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, thank you, Ernestine, for hosting this today. I think it's going to be great for the citizens of Daresville to get to hear us and what our ideas are. You know, when we started this, our idea is very simple. We love Daresville. I'm raising my kids here, and I want my kids to love this town too. I want them to, when they turn 18 and get ready to go to college, or they go off to college, I want them, once they're done with that, to want to come back to this town. And I think that's all done through planning and how we look at our city. I want this to be a place where you can enjoy going out in the evening, get something to eat with your family, and then going down to the park and having a walk, and enjoying time with your neighbors too. I think that's something that we've had here in Daresville, and I want to make sure that we keep is being able to know your neighbor and who they are, and enjoy spending time with them, because it's really all about personal relationships in life. If we don't have personal relationships, we've lost everything. So when you go to the voting booth, whether it's on early voting or on November 3rd, just know that if you put your vote in for me, you're voting for somebody that wants to see Daresville be a good place to raise a family, a good place to get something to eat and to shop in town, and for local business owners to be able to have an environment where their business not only survives but thrives. And again, to all you that's on the call today, I appreciate y'all and y'all's willingness to be a part of a Daresville's future as well.
Thank you. Mr. Hall.
Yes. I think, first of all, I would say that no matter who the citizen of Daresville elect as the next city councilman, I can speak for all the people on this call, I do believe, by saying that whoever that is, we will support them. And I think that just speaks to the caliber of people we have in our city and our community. And my biggest hope and dream is that I'll be able to, as city councilman, to give back to the city that raised and reared and molded me. I love our community. I love our village. I love the people there. And I love the things that are happening. I go back to, again, being part of the Downtown Development Authority for 6 years and with R360. And what they do is they kind of compile and take an informative data list of everything that's going in and on in Daresville. And they make a brochure and they go and shop that to other businesses and developers around the country at these conventions. And they send us information back to let us know what type of businesses we're in the market for. So a lot of the things that you see popping up as far as business-wise in Daresville are a result of what we've been doing with the city of Daresville when it comes to development and commercially and all this type of thing. And so I'd love to be able to continue to stay there so I can continue to see those things grow and come to fruition. All the work that we've been doing, I want to see that continue to grow. And we're in a diversity class today. Today's topic for Youth Leadership Barto is diversity. And one of our speakers, presenters this morning, made a comment. I think I put it on Facebook, and I thought it was so profound. Again, I told you I love diversity. And she said, diversity is being invited to the party, but inclusion is being asked to dance. So not only do we invite people to be a part of our community, you don't want just solely want them to be a part of our community. We want them to be able to dance in Daresville and thrive here. So that's what we're working toward. We want people to thrive in Daresville. And so they can love this community as we all do on this call, as we love this great community that we live in.
Thank you. And Ms. Jenkins, you get to make the final statement.
Thank you, Ernestine, for having us today. Thank all the candidates. Good luck to everybody. I have run a door-to-door effort to get out and meet the citizens of Daresville, as well as to hear what their concerns for the city is. I seek to serve as a citizen's voice and at council meetings and in all city functions, and to work side-by-side with the mayor and great folks already serving on the city council. I'd like to thank my parents, my family, my friends for all the support and help throughout my campaign. All citizens are encouraged to get out and vote and make your voice heard by electing the person you feel would best represent the city of Daresville Council. The choice is clear, Brandy Jenkins. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for participating and helping our listeners and the community know more about you. And I'm sure you'll echo this last comment, which is go out and vote. I'm Ernestine Young-Jones for WBHF.